This is The Righteous Made Perfect, a podcast where we discuss life, ministry, faith, and everything involving what it takes to live as the people that God has made perfect. Today on the podcast, we're going to be discussing the role of digital ministry and our footprint in the online world. For this discussion, we're bringing on Jameson Stewart. Jameson is a preacher who's doing just that. He has a Substack that he operates and is prolific in what he puts out called Centered on Christ. He'll talk about that quite a bit in the podcast. He also is in league with others who are doing the same thing via podcast and online articles, blogs, etc. And we talk quite a bit about how we can reach others through the devices that we carry in our hands and we're all logged on to and glued to every day. Jameson is a fine young minister. We're grateful to have him in the brotherhood, and we're grateful to have him today on the podcast. Let's go talk to him. On the podcast today, I've got Jameson Stewart. Jameson, man, glad you joined me today for the podcast. How are you?
Oh, man, doing good. Good to be here with you today.
Well, I appreciate you waking up bright and early and recording. I don't know when we'll release this, but we're recording in the morning, and appreciate you cutting a little bit of time out of your busy schedule to be here. Tell us a little bit about where you're working now, what kind of ministry you're involved with, what got you into ministry, and a little bit about your family, things like that, so everybody can get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, preaching at the West Hobbs Street Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama, up near Huntsville, Alabama, for anyone who doesn't maybe know where that is. We've been here, in fact, time of recording this, we've been here, tomorrow will be 2 years that we've been here. So I really enjoying the work. It's going really well. Super thankful to be where we are and working with this congregation. My wife and I, Lord willing, this summer will have been married 10 years. We have three little ones. Nate, he turns 8 this spring. Kaysen, he's 4, turning 5 this summer. And then Ava Drew, our little girl, she's 2, and she'll be 3 this summer. So life is busy with three little ones.
Yes, sir. I was going to say, when you said y'all had been married 10 years, that took me back, but I've known you, well, I guess I met your grandfather 18 years ago. I was just thinking about that a minute ago. So yeah, anyway, I'll get into that in a minute, but go ahead. Keep telling
us. Yeah, I know. But yeah, just, you know, work's going good. Family, we're in a good place for our family. You know, kids have a lot of friends at church. Wife has a lot of friends at church. You know, I've got friends there. So it's, you know, it's a good fit. It's a good setting. And just thankful to get to do what I do. I guess I got into ministry. I guess it was just, I'd done some things with GB. I'd worked with GBN, the Gospel Broadcasting Network, some in the past, in my early 20s. And then I did a few other things, I guess, after that. I think I did a sales job in Memphis for about a year or so. And then just wanted to do something where I felt like I was really making a lasting difference in people's lives. And so I was like, well, sort of I got into ministry because I was like, I don't know what other route to go to do that. And so I went to the Memphis School of Preaching, graduated there in 2018. And, you know, thankfully, places have let me preach for them. So I'm sure glad to be doing what I'm doing.
Well, you're doing a great work. I interrupted your story there, and it kind of shocked me when you said you've been married 10 years, but I realize I've been back in Louisiana for almost 8. In fact, the end of February will mark 8 years. And so it's hard to believe that time flies by. I met your family. I don't remember specifically when I met you guys. How old, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
31. Born in 1991.
Minus 18. So you were about 13 years old when I met your family. So you were a little dude. I remember meeting you boys. Your grandfather, Jimmy Stewart, and his wife, Betty, were at Indianola when I went there in 2005. He was one of the elders there. It wasn't long before they moved. They actually were in the process of selling their house, but just a fine man. I know him very well because of that interaction, and was really appreciative for his and mentorship and their friendship. And they continue to be very special people in my life. But anyway, so I've known you for a long time. It's pretty cool to have watched you grow up. You're involved in ministry and doing a lot of work. Today on the podcast, you wanted to take a little time and talk about some of your work that you're involved with. And if anybody's on Facebook or social media, I'm sure you're putting that out in several different channels. So tell us a little bit about what you wanted to discuss today, and we'll go from there.
Well, I guess just you know, how we can evangelize online using different tools online. I write centered on Christ. Some folks may be familiar with that. If not, that's all right. But I use a platform called Substack. And I know, Adam, you're on that too.
Thanks to you, actually. Yeah, I got to reading your Centered on Christ blog, or I don't guess, is that technically a blog, Substack?
Sort of, yeah.
And I got to reading those and noticed the functionality. So anyway, yeah, you got me on Substack. I think it's a great platform. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a great platform. And one of the reasons, I guess, that I was writing in some other places before I started writing on Substack. And one of the reasons I really, number one, it's just easy to use. That was one reason I really got into it. But also it was, I started reading up on the philosophy behind the people that operate the company. You know, as most people who listen to this well know, is a lot of online platforms, especially social media, their tendency is to, they like to police what people say, what you can and can't say. And it's very easy to get, you know, banned or suspended from some of these platforms. You know, as Christians, there are certain things that obviously we need to teach on occasion that some of these platforms wouldn't necessarily be the biggest fans of on their platform. And Substack has a policy that they are not interested in policing what people say. They're not interested in being the police on what is put on their platform. They do have a few basic rules that they want people to follow. But other than that, as long as you follow those few very basic common sense rules, they kind of let folks say what they want to say. And as someone who's wanting to teach people what God's word says, that's a very important thing, that the platform you're using is going to let you say what God's word says.
I first was introduced to Substack not from your writing. I first started using it because I saw what you were doing with it, and I'll talk maybe a little bit more about that later too, some of the other functionalities that I liked. But I was first introduced to it, or first made aware of it, actually through like political writers who were being censored through standard media outlets, you know, newspaper writers, New York Times, that sort of thing. They started, you know, forming, and I'd hear people say, you know, this is on their Substack. And I was like, what is a Substack? Yeah. So I got to researching it. And basically it's exactly what you said, is there's this platform created that content creators can go out. You can say what you want, like you say, within reason. You can't start, you know, calling people to riot or whatever. But you can express an opinion, even unpopular opinions. I like hear what you're saying, because, you know, more and more we're our eyes are being opened to the fact that the world is hostile to the gospel and the message of the cross. And so as we continue to preach Jesus, you know, and he told us this in John 15, hey, they hated me, they're going to hate you. This shouldn't be a shock to us, but over and over again, I'm seeing Christians are surprised that, oh, they don't like what we're saying. So for now, it is a platform where you can be free to express basic traditional Christian values and teachings. I don't know how long that will continue, but I think that's important because there's a lot of other mediums where, you know, hate speech or whatever, it might get struck down. And so that's a really big positive for the platform, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's, you know, obviously you've got the allowing more free speech. And here's, I suppose, for a Christian, the kind of what you have to deal with is that means there are going to be things on the platform that you don't agree with and you don't like. But I guess I would rather have a platform where I have confidence that, for at least for now, like you said, they're going to let me say what I feel like needs to be said, rather than every time I post something about these topics, you know, you can just probably think of what they are. If you talk about this topic or that topic, you know, abortion, homosexuality, it's going to get struck down.
Sure.
And it's, you know, it is right now. I'm thankful. It is a blessing. And it's interesting, even the world, because this Substack, this is not a, you know, this is not a religious platform. This is not a you know, a Christian organization. This is just a business. It was started because folks out in the world are like, hey, we don't like you know, social media platforms and these other platforms, policing ideas and content, you know, hey, this isn't something that should be said, therefore we're going to remove it. They didn't like that. And I think anyone that's interested in finding the truth, there does have to be somewhat that free flow of ideas so that you can find what is true and not have someone telling you, hey, this is what you need to listen to, because they may or may not be right.
Yeah, and we can develop a bias too when we're getting all of our source information from one set of sources. That's what I tell people. I don't watch cable news very often anymore. If something's going on, we're about to go to war or some major event in the history, you know, I may turn it on to, hey, see what's happening. Yeah. But I know people, Christian people, non-Christian people who watch cable news daily, and they're watching one, you know, I'm tuned into Fox or CNN. And I'm like, look, if you're going to watch that stuff, you need to watch from various angles and then go read your news. I've got a good friend who's a journalism professor, and he says, you need to be reading your news, not watching it. Now I tend to think his wisdom there is quite good. But you're exactly right. And even when it comes to biblical studies, when it comes to biblical themes, this is a biblical podcast, so I kind of bring it back. We need to be careful that we don't have, biases formed in our own minds by just dipping from the same well all the time. We need to let our views be challenged. When you read in the New Testament, take it back to the scriptures, you know, Paul, when he went to Athens, he sees all these false idols. He's provoked. He goes and engages the culture, and he had to step into that culture and listen to their arguments and hear what they're saying. And I don't think we need to shy away from that. You know, it's easy to say, well, we'll just withdraw and we'll just all tell each other the same thing over and over, but that's not our call. We're to go into the world. So you're right. There's a lot of that there. And back to your point, you made one point that, you know, Substack is not a Christian website. I don't want anyone to get that idea from this. Hey, this is, we're recommending this. In fact, one of the writers that I first was introduced to on the platform, I don't think is a person of faith. I think they probably, are, you know, living, you know, who knows what sort of lifestyle, but they are an advocate of free speech, and they were being policed. I think over, you know, who knows what, like you said, there's a lot of hot button topics out there that if you're on the traditional platforms, you know, the Facebooks, the Twitter was a big one before Elon Musk bought it out. That's kind of an interesting story. Or YouTube, you know, they're just taking stuff down. And so these people are trying to give people content. So what are some of the things, what are some of the functionalities you can do with that? What are you doing with it? And how is it maybe a little different than what you were doing?
Well, I'll try not to get, I guess, too much into the details or the weeds with it, but basically Substack is unique because it is a blog, but that's not all it is. It's also, in addition to that, at the same time, it's a newsletter. And so as you know, traditionally with a blog, you just publish something and then it's out there on the web. Well, this does that, but it also, people can subscribe to what you write or to your podcast or whatever the case may be. You can even do videos on the platform. And as people subscribe, as you publish, it will go out there, just sit there on a page, but it'll also be sent to everyone who subscribes to you. And so you really sort of build an audience as you go. And that's, to me, that's something that's really valuable because now even if, you know, every other platform I use were to, you know, I couldn't use it anymore for whatever reason, I still have, I think at the moment, I think it's about 650 subscribers to my Substack. So it's like there's 650 people that I can reach no matter what happens. And so that's a very, you know, you've got this group of people that you can reach because no one can take that audience away from you. And that's, to me, that's where Substack, it pairs together blog, newsletter, you can do a podcast, you can put videos in there. It puts everything together in one place. It's really simple and easy to use. And so I've really enjoyed getting to use it. And I think it's been a very valuable tool to get the gospel out to the world, to anyone who's interested. And that's been really neat to see, is how many people are actually still interested in learning about the Bible and learning about the gospel and learning about what God has done for them.
I think you're exactly right. I think I'm a little bit, I guess I'm becoming older, becoming a little bit of a dinosaur. It took me a while to get into this. I have seen other ministers, you know, making videos. The YouTube thing's been around for a while, putting stuff out on Facebook, you know, little devotionals, maybe as a Facebook post, that sort of thing. There's a lot of ways that we can engage with people outside of, you know, our Sunday meetings or a church bulletin or whatever we're normally doing. And I think we'd be foolish to you know, disregard the impact we can have through social media or digital content creation, whatever it might be. You know, I've seen some guys that did. I was kind of reluctant, and I think the pandemic pushed me into this a little more because I had already started a podcast back in 2015, but it wasn't a personal podcast. All I was doing with the podcast was when I moved here, I set up a podcast for the church. And I was just uploading Bible classes and sermons. And basically it was just to share with our church family, visitors, et cetera. You know, hey, we're going to be traveling on Wednesday night. We don't want to miss Bible class. I'd post it. And I did that for a long time. I of course was new to this, chose the cheapest host that I could.
Yeah. It works though.
Well, it did. That was a poor decision. Let me just say, if you're ever thinking of starting something, because they went defunct and I lost all of my content. And I didn't save the hard copies because, well, it's online and they just like, you can't contact them. So I lost it all. So we're trying to think about maybe rebooting that for the church. But during about that same time is when the pandemic hit. And so, you know, we had to start doing online. I was having to learn, you know, functionality of Zoom, which is what we're using now to record this and so many other things. And that's where my podcast originated. And it originated from a discussion that I had with another preacher while we're driving down the road. And I said, hey man, preacher to preacher. And I'll break some news here on the podcast. I'm actually changing the name of my podcast and of my Substack, because it started as I want to just get on, you know, Zoom or get in a room with another preacher and have a conversation, preacher to preacher. And that's where it started, but it's transformed into something else because now I'm using this. I'm, you know, started to write articles through Substack. And the reason I swapped over was because it can host a podcast seamlessly. I can also write articles. I can, you know, upload other content. And I like the email side of it, as you were mentioning, so that I can build a subscriber base. I don't have to worry about whether or not they're on Facebook. You know, I don't have to worry about whether or not they're on Twitter or whatever, which I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on Instagram. I'm not hip to all that stuff.
I don't do a lot of that either.
And that's okay. You know, people who are, whatever. I don't have that much time. I waste enough on one platform.
Yeah.
If I had four or five social media accounts, I don't know. I'd not manage them well. But anyway, so I'm changing mine and in the next week or two, I've already started working on some logo stuff and stuff like that, but I'm going to call it The Righteous Made Perfect, lifted from Hebrews 12, and where he talks about the spirits of the righteous made perfect, or some versions say the just men made perfect. And the idea is going to be, it's a place where people who are the righteous, those who've been made righteous through faith, are made complete. And we're going to talk about how we're growing in our faith. And that's kind of going, I will still have the preacher to preacher type episodes where I have these conversations. So I've morphed, I've changed. And I think that's one of the cool things that happens. But with that being said, you know, my podcast base has gotten, you know, a lot larger, a lot more downloads than it was. I've been doing it for about 2 years now, just kind of dabbling. My Substack's only about a month old. So it's just getting going. But it's picked up steam tremendously. I've been really shocked, but there's a lot of things that can be done. I want to talk to you a little bit about, man, how many pieces are you putting out a week?
Well, what I put something out. I didn't used to, but as time went along, I guess, and I got maybe the process down a little bit more efficient, I'm putting out something every day now. So 7 days a week. The schedule is, it's not as bad as what it sounds, I guess, because the schedule is on Sunday. It's a podcast, which the podcast episodes right now, anyway, are just going back to old articles I've written, because I started doing this back in October of 21. So articles that nobody remembers anymore. And the podcast episodes, the script are those old articles. And those come out every Sunday. So that's Sunday's it's just recycled content on Sunday, essentially old content. Monday, I call it Promotion Monday. And I go find an article or something that someone's written, and I put that in the article. And then I also share usually like a video as well that I found that's interesting. And so Monday is I'm just sort of plugging pieces together. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm going through the book of Romans. And those are articles that I write that I spend time studying every week. So I write those. That's also, though, now what I'm teaching on Wednesday night at West Hobbs Street. So right. I'm reusing that content, too. So it's for the articles, but that's also stuff that I'm going to be using in Bible class on Wednesday night. Friday this year, I've started writing something I call letters to my kids or letters to my children. And it's just, it's things I'm writing that hopefully, you know, will mean something to them one day. Just thoughts I have throughout the week. It's like, I want my kids to remember this, or this is something important that happened to me that hopefully you can learn from. And that's Friday. And then Saturday is just a guest post. I get somebody else to, maybe it's a bulletin article or something that someone else has written. And that's what it is. So technically I write four articles a week. Even though I put out seven pieces of content every week.
Right.
So it's not as much as what it looks like.
Well, I know though it's still a good bit. I'm interested in you saying the Romans thing, and I've been following that. I from the get go on my podcast, I was thinking about taking a Bible study podcast, an audio, and maybe take an hour and go like a chapter at a time or something, just kind of an overview, like, you know, and I'm still thinking about doing that, but it's going to be a commitment because once you start, if you get four chapters into Hebrews and you get tired or you get too busy, people are going to start saying, Hey, I'm so, you know, you got to make sure you're prepared. You know, you don't start building the tower unless you can finish it. So, I'm hoping to do that. Now you're in a network of podcasts on your podcast. Tell us a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, I've been with the guys from Scattered Abroad Network for, I guess, a little over 2 years now. Been doing work with them, podcasting with them, kind of helping them now. Still some on the podcasting side, but focusing more on the writing side. Because I've, over the last few years since the pandemic, I think a lot of us have, we have realized that in some way I need to be reaching people to encourage them, teach them in some ways. And I've really discovered that I really enjoy the writing side much more than video, much more than anything else. I really like writing. And so I'm helping them some now with that. But yeah, they've got, I think, a podcast, at least one podcast comes out every single day. It's just a group of guys, Michael Clark, Caleb Rutherford. Those are, I guess, the co-directors of the Scattered Abroad Network. And they do a great job. So I'm glad they've just kind of got me along for the ride. Just glad to help them in whatever way I can.
Well, you're doing some great work, and we appreciate it. And you're a good writer. You're doing a great job. I mean, I wouldn't have asked you to come on here if I thought you did a terrible job, just to be candid
well,
about it. So,
well, I appreciate,
so we appreciate that. No, we appreciate that. You're doing a great job. And I think, for other ministers who are thinking about branching out, doing some digital, you know, it takes some courage, I think, because anytime you put content out for public consumption, you know,
you're always going to have some people that do not agree with you, and they will let you know.
That's right. And so, I know I was going to start a blog several years ago. I wasn't really serious about it. Didn't really know much about it. And I posted an article or two, and I don't remember if it's WordPress or what. And I ended up but I got so many trolls on whatever platform I was, and I ended up disabling the comments. And, you know, I didn't realize that, but there are a lot of, that's one of the things is when you engage the world, you're going to get a lot of that sort of blowback. And so I think that's important to know, but you're also going to reach a lot of people and encourage a lot of people. I've always appreciated that. You know, if I went for a spell there where I kind of got out of the podcast, I got busy personally. And my podcast, I always said, was kind of my hobby. I'm not, you know, making any money on it. I'm not, the church hasn't asked me to do it. I was just doing it for kind of fun. I like to talk to preachers. And I went a couple months and didn't release anything. And I have people messaging me like, "Hey, when are you going to put something else out?" And I'm like, "Well, I didn't really think about people depending on that." But eventually people are like, "When I'm driving, I like to listen." And so I was like, okay. So, you know, it becomes something that can be a blessing in people's lives beyond what we do in the pulpit or what we do in our local church. And so, something important to do. Any other thoughts? I told you I won't keep you too long. I know you're a busy guy. You got some more content to produce. So,
Well, and I was just a couple of thoughts based on some things you had just said was I would say to anyone who's thinking about, or maybe they're just getting started, whether podcast, video, articles, whatever the case may be, is, yeah, you just have to just do that and know that the negative, the trolls, the people who just, you know, they do not agree with you and they post something rather not very nice about what you had to say. Realize that you are going to get some of those, but that is going to be the vast minority. They will stand out because when we get feedback like that, you tend to remember that. But realize that, number one, it's just words. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just something that someone typed on a keyboard and hit, you know, send or hit publish. It's just some words that show up on a screen. What's that really going to do to you? Well, nothing. And once you get that mindset, you know, you're going to be fine. It may stir you up for a moment when you first see it, but after a few minutes, you know, it's like, okay, you know, it's, I'm going to put something else out tomorrow. I'm going to put something else out next week. What this person has said isn't going to affect anything that I do. So, you know, as far as people that do that, just don't let them discourage you and make you stop doing, you know, putting the gospel out there. But also, I would just say, kind of also adding to that is, you know, look for ways to use your talents, your skills, your personality. You know, not everybody can do or would even want to do a video or a podcast or whatever the case may be. You know, there's so many tools out there today. There's so many different ways we can get the gospel out. You know, we're not limited to, you know, two or three ways of getting the gospel out. There are so many tools that are available today that your skill set, your talents, your personality will fit something that's out there. And so find whatever that is, whether it's writing, whether it's a podcast, whether it's some people are there, they have a really good eye maybe for graphic design or for pictures. And I've noticed sometimes people will share, they'll have a really good image and they'll have like the text of a Bible verse on there, or they'll put together some sort of graphic. I'm really bad at that stuff. But some people are really good at, maybe it's something to do with baptism and it's some graphic. And some people are great at that. It's like whatever you can do, figure out what that is and then just go all in on doing that. Find what fits your skill set and your talents, and you know, you can spread the gospel in that way.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I see some guys like, you know, PowerPoints or and I used Prezi for a while. I quit using it when I came here because our internet in town is, I had issues with anyway, but Prezi was a beautiful tool. And even a doofus like me could make things look cool. But I see other people and what they do with some of the stuff and the slides they generate and things. The graphics, I'm just like, and I've tried to learn different softwares, but I guess I don't know if I'm, you know, whatever. That's not that side of my brain that functions correctly. Yeah. So I'm envious, not in a bad way, but I do appreciate those things. Wish I could adopt them in my own life, in my own work, but I can't. I don't do YouTube videos. I've got a face for audio podcast. And so, I just, the guys that do that, the girls that do that, you know, produce this amazing content. I appreciate it. I think it's amazing and I'm grateful to God for them. But I'm trying to do what I can. So that's really good advice. And, you know, all just kind of need to fit in wherever we can. And do what we can. You know, that's all the Lord expects of us. So anyway, really good advice. Well, I appreciate your time today. Just kind of a little different than what we might normally talk about on the podcast, but I think it's important and something that we all can kind of brush up on and learn to utilize. We're in a digital world. We're connected digitally and there's ways we can reach out and encourage and other things. Couple things that we use, you know, we're here on Zoom. One last thought here. I just had while you were talking. We've started using a good bit. There's a, and there's several versions of this. We use a group messaging app and software called GroupMe. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I've heard of that.
You know, there's that. There's one called Remind and there's others, but I've got a GroupMe set up when we go to Latch of Leaders or CYC or for my church cramp staff or for our church camp board, or for our church congregation here, you know, I can get up and say, I can send out a message to all our church members. Hey, pray for so-and-so today. They're having surgery or, you know, this person did this. Let's all, you know, thank God for that or whatever. I can send out to the, you know, and so there's things like that we might can tap into and utilize that just makes things more efficient. It may not be that we're writing articles or trying to get out there, you know, fighting, you know, wars over doctrine or culture or whatever. It may just be that we're doing something to encourage or reach out to those who need to hear. And those things are important too. So that may be something else to check into.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the tools that are available today, I've mentioned to folks, I guess, either in sermons or in Bible classes before, is it has never been easier to take the gospel to people than it is right now. Because not only do we still have face-to-face and more, I guess you can say, traditional ways like that, but those are needed. And, you know, sometimes face-to-face is just, that's just the way it needs to happen for somebody. You know, if you're going to study with someone, face-to-face is maybe the best way to do it. But just getting the seed of the gospel out there is, you know, as Jesus talks about in Luke 8, the parable of the sower, the word of God, just broadcasting, scattering the seed out there. I mean, there are so many ways to do it today. And to me, that's one of the really exciting parts about the work of, well, not just the work of a preacher, but the work of a Christian, is it's just, there are literally countless, there are so many things that even you and I don't know about that you can spread the gospel using this tool. And it's just that, to me, is what makes... That's what makes this so exciting, is there's so many ways to do this. And to me, that's just, I don't know. That's really what motivates me to keep doing this, is I love learning a new way to take the gospel to people. And that's just so exciting. It's not just for preachers, but it's for all Christians can do this. And that's, you know, that's what really is exciting to me.
Yeah, you just jogged a memory for me. About a year or so back, one of our members came to me and said her daughter had come up with something. I think her daughter's 8, 9 years old. And she said, "Mom, I want to get some rocks, you know, some bigger rocks, and I want to paint them and put some scriptures on them, and or put a message on there, you know, God loves you with the scripture, or, you know, we'd love to help you, pray for you," or whatever, at the church, and put the, and she said, "I just want to leave these rocks on the sidewalks around town. So somebody's walking, they might see that painted rock, pick it up, get a little scripture, and you know, maybe we could reach out." And I'm thinking, I would have never in a bazillion years thought of that. And here's an 8 or 9 year old kid with this amazing, just a beautiful idea, you know, you know, and some may say, "Well, that's kind of silly." I think that's amazing. I think she's probably going to do amazing things in the kingdom of God if she applies that down the road, because she's going to find interesting ways to reach out. So you're right. There's no limit to how we can serve and how we can reach and how we can minister. We just need to make sure we're finding our niche. So we appreciate what you do. Thank you for your time on the podcast today, Jameson, and we'll let you get back to work, and we'll follow you on your Substack, Centered on Christ. You guys can reach, is there a direct link, or just search Centered on Christ? Would that be the best way for people to find
you? If you search Centered on Christ, probably either on Facebook or if you have a Substack, just search Centered on Christ and you should find it.
I'll link to it in the podcast notes for anybody listening to this, and you guys can find Jameson there, and he's got just a wealth of great content. So we appreciate what you're putting out. Well, well wishes for you and your family, man. Tell Ashley and Jim and Pam and Jimmy and Betty and everybody, we love them. And if you see them or talk to them, just tell them we wish them the best, and hope to see you guys again sometime soon.
Oh, yeah, man. Appreciate you having me. Hope things continue to go well for you down there.
I appreciate that. God bless, man.